Hello neighbours, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. When we had off-island visitors to our home in Corner Brook, one of our preferred day trips was to Stephenville on the Port Port Peninsula. It never failed to impress. The culture, the sheer cliffs, the geology, the largest wooden structure in all of Newfoundland, the diving gannets, the evidence of farming present and of farming past, as seen in large groves of wild roses. Indeed, the foundation of the region was farming. We talked to someone today who thinks that farming and food production is a major part of the future of that region as well. He has a background in farming and a position at the moment where he can help to promote the importance of farming to all of us, and especially to municipalities.
There's all kinds of examples where farming exists in communities close to cities, and it's accepted because it's economy, it's lifestyle, it's green, and it's the right thing to do. I think municipalities right across this province need to really step back and look what they're doing and when it comes to their development regulations. So what we need to do as a council, we need to clean it up, green it up, build it up, and farming and agriculture is going to play a role.
There have been multiple stories of municipalities that are fighting to restrict food production within their boundaries. You've likely read them. Maybe you're quoted in some of them. This is a different story. It's of a municipal leader who's an evangelist for the role of municipalities in increasing food production. Yes, you heard me correctly. He also preaches the importance of supporting farming and food production as a powerful symbol to current residents, and especially to potential residents, younger generations, who may place a higher value on local food production than older guys like me. Of course, this is just one person, and his struggles to increase food production are not as smoothly accepted as we may hope, but it is a valuable model of the kind of local leadership which will make a difference in this province. We meet up in his pleasant but unassuming mayoral office in the town hall. Pull up a chair. Join us.
My name is Tom Rose. I'm the mayor of Stephenville. And farming, I guess, is the foundation of what Stephenville was prior to becoming one of the largest air bases outside of continental USA. We had about 500 people. We were a small farming fishing community. And at the time when the Americans arrived, there was 500 acres under cultivation.
Right within the city limits.
Stephenville. So that's a 1 acre per person ratio, which is pretty significant. I'd like to get that back.
You have a history with farming yourself, personally.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, well, as a young boy, I guess growing up, we had a significant piece of property here in Stephenville. We had over 100 acres, and he was primarily into the woods operation, but we did some small farming, sustenance farming. So I grew up, you know, planting potatoes and turnip and making hay. And I remember as a young boy making hay with the old hand side and raking it the old-fashioned way, you know. But back in 1986, after 5 years in the Air Force, I wanted to come back home, and I became a strawberry farmer and hay productions farmer in Stephenville, where I had U-pick and roadside sales and wholesale, and got into farming. And for about 20 years after that, when I got married and children, I walked away from the farming a bit, but still kept my property and equipment. But I'm back at it again.
Really?
Back at farming.
What is it about farming that attracts you?
I find it's therapeutic. The closer you get to the land, in different cultures, the Japanese, they sit, the indigenous people in North America, they sat on the land. We sit on chairs. But actually, you know, the closer you get to land, getting your hands in the dirt and the smell of the organics and of the soils, there's something about it that it really appealed to me. And I grew up as a farmer, a woodsman, hunter, and to put down and sow your crop and see it grow and harvest it, it's pretty fulfilling.
You're actively involved in economic development here, have been for many years, and I've always thought that this region, Port au Port, Basin George South, Stephenville, has a history, as you say, of agriculture. Is that a part of what you see of the future economic development for this region now?
Absolutely, for a bunch of reasons. I guess you never forget where you came from. I'm a bit of a historian myself, and I love history. And when I look at our community, if I'm going to attract a family, a young family to move into Stephenville, or if I'm going to keep a young family, I'm pretty knowledgeable on trends and about the millennials and the generation X and Ys, and I kind of follow the trends that's happening, and it could be food, diet, lifestyle, and so forth. And I believe farming in Stephenville and every community has a very vital role, because people feel good to know that there's greenscapes being protected, and farming tends to be greenscapes. It's also high quality food. We've heard the horror stories of too much processed foods and the risks associated with them. We've heard the horror stories of even some of the leafy lettuces that come into our province that may have salmonella. And with everything, there's a risk. But the more local, organic, there's jobs associated with it. And every pound of potato or pound of lettuce that we can grow, or every tomato that we can grow, or every side of beef or chicken or swine, anything that we can grow, that's one less tractor trailer of, say, 40,000 pounds that's going to have to cross that ferry, the carbon emissions, you know, greenhouse gas emissions associated with that. And I think it's just the right thing to do. And, you know, in this province, Ivan, food security is a big issue.
Do you think people want something different from their food than they used to?
Yeah, I think it's there's so many potential markets out there now, because people are cooking with so many different spices and varieties and salads, and they're just getting away from maybe the diets that existed in the past. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's great about that is if every community could support through economic development, through programs, through education, through partnering with universities and colleges, and can actually take it very, very seriously, every little baby step actually will have accrued benefits to the province, because even from a health perspective, I often look at a lot of our seniors' complexes. Most of the people are very bored. They get tired of doing the same old thing, and they don't get outside much, you know? So if we can incorporate design that little raised beds that they can actually walk outside and maybe just, even if they're in a wheelchair, you know, the accessibility to play a very, very small role, I think it makes your community look good. And in Newfoundland and Labrador, if we get it right, people want to come here for a bunch of reasons, and let's just give them more reasons to do that.
You're surrounded by lots of farmland, or former farmland in some cases here. But one of the challenges is to get new entrants, new farmers of any age. Do you have some suggestions that you would give for that?
Absolutely. We've had some great discussions on our economic front just recently. And as we roll out our economic framework, what we're looking at doing is trying to attract some young people, because farming is a young game in a sense, if you're going to do it to try to make a living. It's physical work, it's hard work, and you have to enjoy that. But to me, lifestyle, attracting the right person, doing some small training courses to our universities and college. But to the town of Steamboat, we're looking at a couple of unique things. We're even looking at setting up our own seed capital fund, so that if somebody wanted to come in and put a business plan together, we may grant the first step of capital funding to get them started. So then they can leverage some government programs and so forth. Because what happens with a lot of young people, they don't have any assets or capital in their bank accounts because they're so young. They haven't had a chance to do that. The other thing I want to do is, I have a friend of mine, for example, is in his 70s now. He farmed his whole life. And what we would look at is bring some of the older people, such as myself or Mr. Donnie White and other people that I know, and bring them as his mentors and coaches for the young farmers. Because when I look back, I remember I had the cod moratorium, and I remember that the province wanted to get fishermen, and they wanted to turn them into computer guys. Yeah. Well, I thought that was really stupid, you know.
And hairdressers.
Yeah, you know. So if you're a fisherman, you're a worker, you're a pretty robust individual, you're probably a good carpenter, you're a good mechanic, and you enjoy the outdoors. So back then, what they should have probably done is found the good fertile areas, offer these people a home, some equipment, give them short courses in agriculture, and try that, because I think it was better suited, and I think it would have been a much better move, you know, for the province.
Do you have a song that I can play underneath this? Something to do with farming or with Stephenville?
You know, I love music. I play in a couple of bands. I'm a big Tragically Hip fan. Wheat Kings.
Wheat Kings, okay.
Yeah.
We'll fold that out of your ear somewhere.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Sundown in the Paris of the prairies, we kings of all treasures buried. And all you hear are the rusty breezes pushing around the weather vane Jesus. Oh. simple ladder, he sees the killer's face. Maybe it's someone standing in a killer's place. 20 years for nothing, well that's nothing new. Besides, no one's interested in something you didn't do. We kings and pretty things. Let's just see what the morning brings.
That's the Tragically Hip with a song called The Wheat Kings by request of my guest today, Tom Rose. In this second section of the interview, we talk about the relationship between agricultural development and the health of a municipality, as well as the advantages of growing food in the Stephenville area.
You are currently the mayor of Stephenville, and you have been on council for many years. You've been very involved in municipal governance. There is a variety of ways in which towns have related to farmers. How do you see the relationship between municipalities and agriculture, food production?
I think it's very important. I think municipalities right across this province need to really step back and look what they're doing and when it comes to their development regulations.
Yeah.
And I'm the testimonial here. Before I became the mayor, I was challenged. Even I remember back in the 80s when I wanted to go farming and build my house on my farm, I was challenged by the municipality. And that's wrong, because if you think you're going to be a cosmopolitan and you're going to grow into a city and there's no rural landscapes, you're absolutely missing the boat. You need to go to the greater Toronto area, maybe. But we're Newfoundland and Labrador. We're small rural communities. And every rural community needs to have development regulation from a municipal level, from an economic development, that's going to support the opportunity from a young farmer or an existing farmer or an existing landowner to have an opportunity to work their land and grow produce. Because if you look at a community like Attakanish, Nova Scotia, they're a town that's, because of the university, that's kind of their core economic. Why they're so enriched as a community economically is because all around Attakanish, there's farming and forestry, and it's all supported. And to think that a farmer got a piece of farmland, but you can't build a house on it, so what do you expect a farmer to go live in a condo downtown and drive 45 minutes to get to your farm? Well, that don't work. You know, a farmer needs to be on his farm. If a farmer is sitting on 100 acres of land or 5 hectares of land and he got a single home, and the town of Stephenville grows to become a city, and that's my plan, by the way.
Okay,
just to say that for the record.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years from now, if you got to expand, you can expand around that farm. And at any point in time, if a farm wants, an owner of a property wants to sell his property so development goes through, that's permitted also. But there's all kinds of examples all over the world where farming exists in communities close to cities, and it's accepted because it's economy, it's lifestyle, it's green, and it's the right thing to do.
There have been lots of examples, not just here but elsewhere, of people who move into regions and then they want the farming, the traditional occupations, to move out because of smell, noise, whatever.
I served my first year in the Air Force in PEI, and I know all about the smells.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me because I knew that was economy and that's money, and as human beings, we need food. But look at PEI. It's got one of the biggest tourism meccas in Atlantic Canada, but they get a strong rural, agricultural, vibrant operation. So when I look at here politically, I have to be a champion, you know, and I think it's because of my background. I'm an MBA guy, so I know economics, and I want to grow this town. I often reiterate time and time again to my economic team that our approach must be balanced. You got to have a balance of attracting businesses and jobs, but you have to also have a balance of community and greening up our community and so forth. So like this year, we put in 6 kilometers of bike lanes. And it's those little soft touches that's making little soft moves to make Stephenville a greener, healthier, clean community.
There's a lot of work on entrepreneurship these days. I don't really get the sense that there's targeted or focused entrepreneurship around food production yet at this point. Do you see that as a direction forward?
Well, you know, I think all you got to do is go to the grocery store and fill up your cart and see how much it costs. Food is very, very expensive now, so there's money being made. I truly believe that Newfoundland and Labradorians, knowing that your product is local, produced by entrepreneurs, value added, most people will pay a little bit more even to make that entrepreneur profitable and successful because it's local. I'm one of those people. I'll spend a few extra pennies on something something if I know it's local, to support local. Yeah. And I think that's part of the branding and part of the communication and part of the education process, to let people know that when an entrepreneur is starting, whether it's a sole proprietor and there's one person, or it's less than 10 people working, that's jobs and that's economy and that's sustaining a community.
Are there advantages to growing food here in Newfoundland, Labrador? Are there things that are positive in terms of our environment?
There's so much research done now in agricultural varieties and species for different climates. Why Stephenville is so important, like the Stephenville towards the Caudray Valley area, the Robinsons, is our climate. Stephenville's not very cold, and a testimonial to Stephenville compared to, say, anywhere else in this province is our golf course is the first golf course that opens every year. So why is that? Well, you know, because we're not really cold in the winter. Our mean temperature, I think, in Stephenville is 0 degrees centigrade from December 21 to March 21. East of Montreal, we've got the clearest weather record of any airport town in the country. So our soil is acidic, but certain things, that's fine. And sometimes you might have to increase your lime for certain things. But there's certain varieties that we can grow. There's certain things we can't grow. And that's where good research.
One of the economic drivers in this region is tourism. Do you think the story of agriculture, which we talked about earlier here in this region, is that something that tourists would be interested in? Is there a way to kind of remind ourselves and other people of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, we've just got back into farming. My son, Stephen, is into it, and he built a big new barn a couple of years ago, and he's tooling up, bought some equipment. He's into the production now. But we're looking at agritourism, because if you can grow some products and sell that, but also tie in some agritourism, then your business model and the success could sustain you even better. So most people who go to the store with their children have never been to a farm, never actually seen where a potato grows and how to even pull a potato out of the ground. But that's agritourism. The other thing that happens, like, for example, in Germany, now there's 80 million people in Germany. There's a lot of farming. So what the German government has done is they'll pay a farmer to host a tourist to spend a night in his farmhouse or his cottage or his loft in his barn or something like that. Because what that does, it gives an opportunity for tourists to really see where food production comes from. It helps the farmer from an economic perspective because he can charge rent. Plus, he gets subsidized by the government. So the government can subsidize Kornbrook Pulp and Paper for $40 million. Why can't they put $40 million in subsidizing farmers? Or if they can put $40 million in Krieg aquaculture because it's economics, why couldn't they look at some programs? And they really got to get focus on small farming, because there's only going to be a few big farms with the big capital and the big dairy operations, you know, and good for them, we need them, but we also need the small farming.
There's a dream he dreams where the high school's dead and start. It's a museum and we're all locked up in it after dark. The walls are lined all yellow, gray, and sinister, hung with pictures of our parents' prime ministers. We kings and pretty things. Wait and see what tomorrow brings. Late breaking story on the CBC. A nation whispers we always knew that he'd go free. They add you can't be fond of living in the past, 'cause if you are, then there's no way that you're gonna last. We kings and pretty things. Let's just see.
That's The Wheat Kings by The Tragically Hip. The song was a request of my guest, Tom Rose, the mayor of Stephenville. In this last section of the interview, we talk about access to agricultural land, the positive changes that millennials will make, and the need to celebrate our food heritage, including the role of hunting and fishing. Ready? Here we go.
Speaking of the provincial government, you are well aware that there's this commitment to double food production in the non-supply managed commodities by 2022. If you were to get a call and say, Tom, Farmer Tom, Mayor Tom, what suggestions do you have for us? What would you say?
One of the policy changes right from the get-go, Ivan, is I think we have 400,000 square kilometers in Newfoundland and Labrador. 49% is arable land in Newfoundland. If Farmer Tom is going to put my time and energy into expanding my farm, well, if there's Crown land adjacent to me, I'd like to have an opportunity to have that Crown land. Programs to help you get the soil into a position, some advancement and innovation also in equipment and resources. But I don't want to only have that land as a lease, because my toil and sweat and time and something that I'll never own, that I'll never be able to liquidate, pass on to a family member. Like, I would never lease a piece of land. Sorry. The amount of work it takes to develop a piece of land and protect the crop and grow a crop and harvest a crop and get the rocks and get the pH and get the soil up, knowing that is not going to be yours, like, I think it's wrong. So that's critical, and they need to have a whole communications and marketing strategy from the Department of Agri-Foods. And if they really want to take it serious, have a sole minister of agriculture with a full department that's his only portfolio. You know, tying in agriculture with four or five different, you know, it gets milked down. It's not really 100% attention because the minister's got four or five other portfolios. You want to take agriculture serious, and we should, give it a sole department, a minister of agriculture, and a department that's focused on that. Then you'll have positive outcomes.
Yeah. When you look around at the town here, do you notice whether there are more gardens or...
The millennials and the young people, they want their children to experience that. And we're pretty innovative, I think, this new council. We're into tiny home development. We're trying to minimize the footprint, you know, trying to help people to become homeowners at an early stage. I think it's very healthy for our community and the direction we're going.
Yeah.
I think just recently, too, just to tie into something here, is that we just started recognizing the founding families of Stephenville. Mm. And in 1939, when the Corps of Engineers and the American Air Force arrived here, there were 26 surnames that existed in the Stephenville Basin, George, Port-au-Port region. And today, 25 of those names still exist. There's only one name that's not here in the phone book. And we've had a couple of years where we've recognized them, and we've brought a lot of the vintage equipment, farm equipment. And I think what's happening now within the young people, but also within our seniors, they're starting to feel that Stephenville is starting to recognize who we were, our history. I'm wanting to do a bit of farming now. My brother's looking at doing a bit of farming now, and he's never done any farming. And our economic team is going to be looking at an economic framework to focus on maybe some young farmers. And you got to try. You know, it's like Wayne Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
What's your favorite local food?
My favorite local food is, well, I'm a big game hunter too, Ivan. So, you know, one of my favorite is a moose stew. I love turnip, hey, and I just love the taste of turnip. And like this year, we grew some turnip, Stephen and I, and we grew white potatoes and red potatoes and blue potatoes. And I can't, this weekend, we're going to pull our first crop, you know?
Yeah.
So probably a moose stew. But I should be eating more lettuce. But I'm a bit of a traditionalist, you know, and I love our turnips. And
you mentioned hunting, and I often reflect on the fact that we traditionally had a lot of self-sufficiency here based on a mix of wild foods and domesticated. Somehow we kind of lost our way for a generation or two. Do you have any reflection on why did that happen, and why are we sort of slowly heading back?
It's interesting, you know, when I read some of the history books about some of the big game species in North America, and when the first Europeans arrived, there were no Walmarts back then. There was no Dominion stores and food center stores and Coleman stores, and everything that was moving, you know, it was food, and they grew and they turned the sod and so forth. But now in places in the U.S. and Canada, the population of those species are larger now than they've ever been, because the population in Canada is moving away from rural and they're moving into the urban centers. But what's interesting is just recently these new millennials are vying to have lifestyle choices rather than big homes and big SUVs. And sometimes they would prefer to live in the little outports or in the rural areas. And then you'll see them probably go get some grouse and rabbit and maybe become hunters. And interesting statistic in Newfoundland and Labrador, most provinces in Canada, only about 3 to 4% of the populations hunter fish. And in Newfoundland and Labrador, 23% of our inhabitants hunt and fish. Yeah. So I'm from a big hunting family. And we've eaten a lot of moose and caribou and some black bear. But that mixed with growing your vegetables and having innovation to learn to grow new stuff. Like my wife is growing thyme and some hooker culture beds and kinds of things like mints and stuff like that. And and there's some little trending with new stuff being grown. Yeah. But it's really good for the economy. And,
Do you think it also has to do with the fact that our language around fishing, they talk about the recreational fishery, and around hunting as recreation, has sort of muddied our view of, well, this is actually self-sufficiency. This is not recreation.
That's a very valid point. I think it's absolutely a shame and disgusting that Tom Rose or Ivan Emke can walk out of this office now, take our rod, dip it into the Atlantic Ocean, and if we hook something, we can't take it home to our family for food for the table, whether it's a mackerel or whether it's a codfish. We have 10,000 miles of coastline in Newfoundland and Labrador, twice the distance from Vancouver to St. John's, but yet we can't go wet a line and bring something home. Absolutely, the waters are muddied.
I guess that's outside of your purview as mayor.
Outside of my, I'm trying to take opportunities locally from a municipality. What can we do to make this community more holistic, more vibrant, safer, healthier? And we're looking at it from a broad scope perspective.
Is there a way to measure that kind of thing? Are there more gardens this year than last year or something like that?
Yeah, I think that's something that we could look at. You know, but when I look at Stephenville and a lot of places in Newfoundland, there's outward migration and towns are getting smaller. Well, our plan is to grow Stephenville and to change the downward trend. And I think that the farming and the green is really critical, because if people want to move to Newfoundland, or people from Stephenville want to stay in Stephenville, or somebody who wants to retire from somewhere else in Newfoundland, what are they looking for? They're looking for a community that's got basic services. And Stephenville's a regional center, so we got a lot of services for a small community. But we're a very flat community. Our soil structure is really good. Our weather is phenomenal. And it's a good quality of life. So what we need to do as a council, we need to clean it up, green it up, build it up, and farming and agriculture is going to play a role.
Thanks so much, Tom, for taking the time.
Thank you very much, and to your listening audience, I welcome any advice. I'm only a phone call or an email away, and if they ever want to come visit Stephenville, I'd love to welcome them.
Garden City.
Garden City. Sounds good.
I trust that you caught the note of optimism in our interview today, that municipalities can indeed become supporters of the drive for greater food security in our province. It will take conviction and action on the part of people who live in communities and those who serve them. But as I said at the beginning, our guest is just one voice. There have been setbacks. One of the topics we discussed in our longer interview was the then upcoming proposal for a pilot project to allow residents of Stephenville to keep a few chickens. However, that proposal was voted down during a meeting in late winter of 2019. Oddly, a number of other places in Canada have allowed residents to raise a small number of chickens. I guess that the research on urban chicken impact is not as well understood in places like Kitchener or Vancouver or Corner Brook or Brampton or Guelph or Kingston or Victoria or Toronto or Edmonton. I could go on, but I think you get my point. Now, when you do a Google search of chicken and Stephenville, you end up on the Mary Brown's website.
Think that a farmer got a piece of farmland, but you can't build a house on it. You expect a farmer to go live in a condo downtown? Most people who go to the store with their children have never been to a farm, never actually seen where a potato grows, but that's agritourism. The government can subsidize Corner Brook pulp and paper for $40 million. Why can't they put $40 million in subsidizing farmers?
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of this show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The song for today's show was The Wheat Kings by the iconic Canadian band The Tragically Hip, as requested by my guest. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was performed this week by the progressive bluegrass collective, The Wayfaring Strangers. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.
You want to take agriculture serious? Give it a sole department, a minister of agriculture, and a department that's focused on that. Then you'll have positive outcomes.